And we're speaking with Paul Flickinger, who is a professor of art at Western Michigan University and also the founder of the Water for the World organization, which holds the Walk for Water every year. This year it will be March 22nd. That's a Saturday, starting at 1 o'clock in the Miller Plaza near Miller Auditorium at Western Michigan University. And Paul, what is Walk for Water?
It's actually a fundraiser for our organization, Clean Water for the World. It's also a way for us to acknowledge the difficulties that some people in developing countries experience with trying to provide their family with clean water. We walk about 6 miles, although we have a halfway point that people that don't want to do the full walk can jump off at. But 6 miles is typically the distance that many women and children walk every day to get water for their family. And, I mean, I have seen 6-year-old kids, two of them carrying a 5-gallon jerry can full of water for miles to get that back home for their family. And they do that on a daily basis. Part of the difficulty of that is that it's hard for them to be in school when their responsibility is to come up with the family's daily water requirements. So, so we do it kind of out of respect for the difficulty that many people have in acquiring clean water for their family, or even just drinking water for their family.
And how widespread is the issue of lack of access to good water?
Well, there's well over a billion people worldwide that don't have access to safe drinking water. The walk, as you mentioned, is on March 22nd. March 22nd, the UN declared to be World Water Day, and the idea being to raise awareness of the difficulty that many people have trying to find safe drinking water. And at the same time that they declared that to be World Water Day, they made a goal of cutting in half the number of people without access to safe drinking water. And that goal was to be met by 2015. And I'm not sure they're any closer to that goal today than they were when they established that at the millennium, the start of the millennium.
The money raised during the walk is used for what exactly to address this issue?
Our organization builds water purification systems. They're a small unit that will provide clean water for about 600 people on a daily basis. We make them in 110-volt, 220-volt, and 12-volt solar-powered systems. So we haven't been able to find those parts growing on trees, so we've got to buy them from the suppliers. We give the units away to communities around the world at no cost to the community. The only requirement is that everyone have free and equal access to the water purification system.
And which countries have these been sent to?
Oh, boy, we've got them all over. We do a lot of work in Central America, El Salvador, a lot of work in Haiti. We just shipped 10 units off to Honduras. So we're pretty heavily loaded in Central America, but we've also got systems as far away as India. We've just begun siting systems in China. So we're pretty much all over the world, quite a few systems in Africa. You know, if somebody asks for a system, it doesn't matter where they are. We do everything we can to provide a water purification system for them.
Other than obviously providing clean water, it sounds like there is also an emphasis on sustainability.
There is. Part of what we do is we partner with, and more we've been partnering with NGOs in foreign countries, and those NGOs typically will select the areas where the systems are needed, and then they install the systems. They maintain them. They change the filters every couple of months, change the UV bulbs once a year, and they also maintain steady contact with us on the condition of the systems, how they're operating. If there are any problems, they have pretty ready access to us to help resolve those problems. Most of the systems run problem-free for, our best guess is that they'll last at least 25 years.
Okay, and you mentioned UV. It uses UV to kill the bacteria.
Yes, uses UV, which is actually the most effective way to eliminate waterborne pathogens. And the thing I like about them is that it really doesn't kill the bacteria. It interacts with the DNA and renders them non-viable. They can't settle into your gut and raise a family because they're not fertile any longer. So, you know, they live their little short lives and pass through your system and no problems.
Now, you mentioned that at least as far as the UN goal is concerned, you're not really sure that we're any closer than we were when they set the goal. Do you think that, though, that your organization is having an impact?
They are. Actually, there's quite a few organizations like us around the world. Different organizations take different approaches, but a number of them provide UV systems. There's even an organization called Potters for Peace that make ceramic pots that where the water just drips through the pot. The pots are lined with silver nitrate. That's a fairly effective way to eliminate waterborne pathogens. There are a number of organizations that are drilling wells to provide clean water. And that's an effective way, but often only for a short period of time. Invariably, if people bring animals to a well to drink, the well eventually becomes contaminated because of the animal waste. But there's a lot of people out there trying to do what we do and sort of working beyond the scope of governments, just working as humanitarian organizations. So that seems to be where the primary impact comes from.
Now, I know that you are yourself a ceramicist, I believe.
Yep.
That's your field in art. How did you get involved in clean water?
Quite a number of years ago when I was in grad school, I traveled to Ethiopia, and I was involved with helping to set up a women's ceramic project, and I offered technical support and training in that project. But I also got to know some folks, for one, an Italian nurse who worked at a hospital there. She would give me lessons in Amharic, the native language of Ethiopia. And we were coming back from lunch one day, and there was a small girl that had collapsed near the gate into the hospital. And so this nurse went over and got the girl up, and I saw she was carrying a little bundle in her arms. Turns out the girl was 14 or 15 years old, as is Ethiopian tradition. She'd been married off to an older man, had an infant child. Infant child got contracted a waterborne disease. The little girl walked all night trying to get her baby to the hospital, and she didn't succeed. And at this point in time, I thought, how could this happen that, you know, someone would die because of diarrhea? We don't have that problem in this country. So I did learn a little bit about waterborne disease, and then many years later ran across this system, which was being produced on a small scale by a couple up in Otsego and being installed in El Salvador. So I partnered with them. We started the organization Clean Water for the World and sort of spread the scope of the project out a little bit. Got beyond El Salvador and into countries all over the world.
How many units do you think have been released into the wild, as it were?
Well, we've probably put out somewhere near around 200. Occasionally we discover that a system is out there and for some reason is not working, and when at all possible we try and get that working. But we also recently got a report from a system that was installed in Sudan, and it was put in a school, and someone from the States was going back and was going to check on that system, only to discover that the school had been destroyed. So, you know, there's only so much you can do. We put the system out, do our best to maintain it and support it, but politics, war, things like that can also have an impact on it. But I think we've put out and sent out about 200 of them.
And most of them are still functioning?
Most of them are, yes.
If someone wants to get involved in the Walk for Water this year, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to our Facebook page. It's KZOO, Walk for Water 2014. And there's information on the Facebook page. We're trying to get our website, cleanwaterfortheworld.org, trying to get that updated with the information. We lost our web worker, and so we're training a new one right now. Or they can contact us through email, which is cleanwaterinfo@gmail.org. I can get information to them. They can email me, flickingerpaul@yahoo.com. I'll get information to them. Easiest way is through our Facebook page.
Okay. And basically, this is like a lot of walks. You get pledges from other people to pay a certain amount per the distance walk, that sort of thing.
Sure, exactly. You get sponsors, ideally collect the money. We also are doing something with an organization called First Giving, where someone can go on First Giving, tap into our site on First Giving, which is KZOO Walk for Water 2014, and they can register and people can donate directly to First Giving, and then First Giving forwards the money to us.
And you have a goal of the amount you'd like to raise this year?
Well, yeah, we'd like to raise somewhere around $10,000. That's close to what we've done in the past, and we'd like to maintain that. So that's our goal.
And that would translate to how many of these units?
Well, that would translate to about 15 systems. So we have a goal this year of putting out about 50 systems. So that would make a big contribution towards meeting that goal of 50 systems.
And this event in Kalamazoo is not the only one that raises money for the
organization. No, it's not. We also, University of Toledo does a Walk for Water. Bowling Green has done Walks for Water for us. We have affiliations with other universities. They don't necessarily do walks, but we're involved with Dartmouth, a student organization at Dartmouth called Dartmouth for Clean Water. And there's several other universities. I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but many of them are student organizations that recognize the dilemma of a lack of clean drinking water and have partnered with us to look at finding solutions to that problem.
Now, how many walkers did you have last year, and how many do you expect this year?
Well, you never know. Last year, I think we had somewhere around 150 walkers. In the past, we've inflated blue helium-filled balloons, which makes for quite a spectacle as they walk around the perimeter of the campus. And we had 100 balloons, and we ran out before everyone got a balloon. So we, near as we could figure, we had about 150 students. We'd like to have at least that this year.
And this is open, though, to more than just students at Western.
Sure, sure. Members of the community, there's a number of churches. Actually, the highest fundraiser last year was a middle school in Pawpaw. The students there organized. They sent some representatives to do the walk. I think there were about a dozen kids from that school that did the walk, and they raised the largest amount of money. When the highest fundraiser gets a trophy. So this year that trophy is out in Pawpaw at Pawpaw Later Elementary School. And every 15 seconds a child dies of a waterborne disease. I would like to have some impact on that figure.